Zooming along them, they morph into blurred yellow lights that eventually form a red square that reads, Redbus, Film Distribution. From flashes of cloudy green lightning, the letters LGF appear, Lionsgate Films, a Lionsgate entertainment company. Waves gently roll onto a sandy coastline beneath a cloudy sky. A caption reads, Based on True Events. Daniel, a fit man wearing a white t-shirt and khaki trousers, hauls luggage from a white clapboard house. He sets the bags down beside a larger suitcase on the ground next to a tan SUV. He heaves the larger case into the boot. He stacks the other cases and bags on top and shuts the rear door. Climbing in, he shuts the driver's side door, flips open his mobile, and presses a button. His handsome features are reflected in the rearview mirror.
Hey, Don, it's Daniel. Listen, don't put the boiler in until I get back. The framing inspection isn't for a couple of weeks, so we've got plenty of time. And I'll check in with you guys in a couple of days, okay? Take care. Bye.
His brown, flat hair gives his head an egg-shaped appearance. He checks his watch and makes another call. In a modern kitchen, a blonde woman, Susan, speaks into a cordless landline.
First thing I would do is try to find another producer. There's got to be somebody else in town who can help us out, just for the pregame. I'll hold on just a second, Cal. Hey, just one second.
Daniel tries to speak, then shakes his head.
I gotta go. Well, call me back if you need me. Good luck. Okay, bye. Hey, I'm so sorry.
What's up?
Hey, I got stuck on the phone with Cal. Yeah, the crew hasn't even made it to the arena yet.
Packing her laptop.
It's not good.
She slings the bag over her shoulder and leaves the house.
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Shutting the door, she checks the lock.
Are all the lights out?
Nope, they're all on.
She climbs in.
Just checking.
He puts away his mobile.
Are you sure you want to load that thing with you? I don't even think we can get online there.
Oh, we can. I checked.
Daniel shoots her a look, and they do up their seatbelts. He scratches his ear, staring into space. Sighing, she looks across at him.
All set?
Let's just try to remember it.
It's Cal. Hey, just a second.
She sighs.
This is supposed to be a vacation.
I know. Boy, do we need one. Hey, what's up? Well, that could work.
He puts on his shades, and swiveling to look over his shoulder, he drapes his arm across the back of her seat. He reverses before pulling out of their drive, away from their beautiful large home nestled amongst the trees. An airplane propeller whirs in a cloudy sky. Blanchard Ryan. Daniel Travis. On board, Susan places her hand on Daniel's thigh as he reads a book. He's wearing earphones. His earphones hang around his neck as she glances at his book and they giggle and talk, her white teeth beaming. The plane descends and a bird glides beneath a blue sky. Estelle Lau. On a white beach beneath a lush green hillside, an iguana looks out to sea. Daniel and Susan relax on beachside loungers. Daniel takes off his shades.
I'm gonna get wet.
All right.
He hands Susan his shades and she rubs them on her bare belly before peering through them. Daniel wanders towards the ocean and wades into the murky green water. He dives in and swims towards the darker water beyond. Open water. High above the ocean in the lush hillside, a hummingbird feeds from a hanging tropical plant. A lizard is perched on a tree trunk. In their hotel room, a bespectacled Daniel sits before Susan's laptop.
Hey. We're all set for the morning. We have to be at the dock at 8:30.
Susan enters carrying a woven straw bag. She smiles at Daniel.
Did you have a nice shower?
Yes.
Great.
I'm so glad I made you bring this. Scattered thunder showers tomorrow night late.
The
looks like it's going to be crowded on the boat tomorrow. I hope it's not a cattle boat.
But we'll just do our own thing. Did you ask?
No, but they seem pretty relaxed. Why is it so hot in here?
Air conditioners busted.
Figures.
We didn't come for the room.
That's for sure.
Considering how much time we had to put this whole thing together, I'm amazed we got anything.
I'm not complaining.
Yes, you are.
He smiles at her.
All right, I'm done. Want to check your email?
Nope. I'm on vacation, remember?
Daniel shuts the laptop and removes his glasses. A greeny-yellow coconut is hacked at with a machete. The top is sliced off and clear coconut juice drips onto the chopping block. Holding the severed coconut, Susan drinks the juice with a straw. Nodding, she proffers the straw to Daniel. Pensioners groove on a barge. In a market, a corn-braided wig on a mannequin. A mug in the shape of a breast reads, "Little Sipper." Susan tries on a red beaded necklace, puts it back, then checks out her straw hat in a small mirror. A woman takes a photo of the two of them in front of a stall. On the quay, Susan snaps photos of Daniel, who ducks his head into the mouth of a plastic shark hanging upside down. He smiles and gets out. In an outdoor restaurant, Susan talks while she nibbles at her food, a plateful of chips in front of her. The breeze gently blows her blonde straight hair off her healthy, tanned face. The shoreline is a pinky orange as the couple stroll along the water's edge at sunset. A lighthouse light lights up the darkness. Daniel and Susan brush their teeth side by side at the sink. They both go to spit at the same time. Susan hunches over the sink, brushing rapidly. She blocks Daniel's way. He takes his toothbrush from his mouth and glares at her, his mouth full of paste. She smiles at him in the mirror cheekily and moves out of his way. Lying naked in bed, she reads a magazine, her face smothered with white cream. Daniel joins her, his face also slathered with white cream. He turns out the lamp and rolls to her. Smiling, she rolls away from him, placing the magazine and her glasses on the bedside table. Switching off the light, she turns back to him. They kiss lightly. She drapes her arm across him, and entwined in one another's arms, they kiss passionately.
Nice face.
You too.
Yeah, it's different. I'm a girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She gives him a peck, and they lie facing each other.
So how are you?
Fine. A little stressed still, I guess.
Just about work?
Yeah, work. Life.
He smiles.
Maybe I can get you to think of something else.
Embracing, they kiss tenderly. Daniel withdraws, gazing at her, his face close to hers.
You okay?
She nods.
I might not be in the mood.
Something like you might be a second ago.
It could go either way, I guess.
Maybe I'll give you a little nudge.
Susan wraps her arm around his neck and they kiss.
Yeah, I'm not in the mood.
That wasn't the direction I was trying to nudge you in.
Sorry. I'm just tired.
She stares at the ceiling.
It's been a long day.
She nods and turns to him.
We can talk.
Nah, you're right. We should get some sleep. I'm wiped.
Very funny.
Susan switches on the bedside lamp and blinks bleary-eyed around the bright room. Her blonde shoulder-length hair is tousled, and she crouches beneath a sheet against the headboard. In the center of the bed, Daniel is upright on his knees in his boxers, wielding the magazine rolled up like a weapon. He scans the ceiling. Silently, Susan nudges him with her foot and looks at the wall beside her. Daniel crawls towards her, holding an arm out, signaling her to stay back. Stealthily, he moves towards the beige and white striped wall, whacking it with the magazine. A digital alarm clock reads 6:30. Lying on her side, Susan shields her eyes from the light. Daniel lies looking at the ceiling, then turning to her, he caresses her naked back with his hand. The waves crash against the dark blue ocean in rolling, foamy lines. Buildings are nestled amongst the green hillside rising out of the water. A sign reads, "Dive Shop." Exotic fish swim in a pool. On a dock, people in t-shirts prepare diving gear, flippers, wetsuits, tanks, and breathing apparatus. Daniel screws an air pipe onto a tank. Water splashes away from the tail end of a lobster yacht that sets off from the dock. The air tanks stand in a row on either side of the stern of the boat. The divers sit on benches and stand in the stern chatting. Some stand on the roof of the yacht as it leaves the harbor. A middle-aged couple converse. A young guy mimes a story animatedly to another young guy in a visor. Susan and Daniel sit leaning against their equipment, apart from the others, engaged in a conversation. A dark, muscular man in purple shorts glances at the smoke spewing from the engine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard the world-famous Reef Explorer. My name is Davis. I'm going to be one of the guys on board the vessel today. Also driving the boat, we have Linder and Junior. Junior's going to be the next guy on board our vessel. We're going to be heading out to a dive site called Magic Kingdom. Now, things you want to look for down there on this dive. Spotted eels, spotted morays. We look for stingrays in the sand. There's angelfish, parrotfish, trumpetfish, rock beauties.
Are there any big fish like sharks or anything?
Yeah, we're going out in the open ocean, so chances are you probably might see a shark or three. But, you know, like I tell everybody, if you see a shark and you don't want to see it, close your eyes. No problem. Sharks over here are not very aggressive towards human beings, so therefore you don't have to really worry about sharks.
Okay.
Okay? All right, other than that, guys, enjoy the ride out.
The water foams in their wake as the vessel speeds out to the open ocean. On board, Davis holds a clipboard and pointing with his pen at the divers, he does a head count. The divers take no notice of him as they stand around chatting and looking out to sea. Davis grabs onto the upper level and pulls himself up, peering over the roof to count the divers standing above. He writes something on his clipboard and walks past Susan and Daniel, chatting intimately beneath the roof of the lower deck. He puts down his clipboard, where he has scrawled the number 20. Susan smiles at something Daniel says, the breeze blowing her hair. Sunlight glints off the ocean's rippling surface. Dressed in blue and black diving skins, Susan packs her shoes and clothes away in a mesh bag. Daniel does the same, and they both shove their bags beneath the bench they're sitting on. The boat rocks gently beside a buoy in the open water. Susan, her wetsuit unzipped, revealing her satisfactory cleavage, runs her hands through her damp golden hair, squeezing the moisture from it.
Okay, guys, if I could just have your attention for just a few minutes. We're going to be entering the water in a minute. Once we assist everybody into their gear, what we want you to do is have the buddy system enter the water first. Once the buddy systems are in the water, we're going to have the guided divers, and myself, Linda, and Junior is going to help you guys get into the water. Linda is our surface support, so if you surface a distance away from the boat, you want to let her know that you are okay. This is how you let her know you're okay, by giving her a big hold over your head. If you're not okay, you do the international distress signal. International distress signal is simple, very easy to do. It's like this. Help! Okay? All right? Very easy, very simple. Once everybody's in the water, you want to make your way over to the white foam ball. There's a white foam ball we have in the stern of the boat. We want you to,
I'm sorry.
You didn't bring your mask?
I brought it. I don't know what happened. It's supposed to be here. Sorry, everybody. I'm just, you know, anxious to dive. I don't want to. Do you have extra masks on the...
Linda, did you bring an extra mask?
You have an extra mask, Linda?
No, I don't have an extra mask.
Oh. Anyone? Does anyone have an extra mask?
No.
You know, I'll
a mask.
Yeah, I understand that. Thank you, Travis. Davis. I'm sorry, guys. Go on.
All right, guys. The dive is going to be at a maximum depth of 60 feet, so therefore we're going to be down there for about 35 minutes.
The man continues to search for his mask. Two metal ladders are dropped into the water. A diver holds his flippers in his hands, addressing his partner already in the water.
I'm gonna put myself on in the water.
He puts in his regulator. He jumps in. Daniel, fully geared up, makes his way to the stern. Behind him, Susan teeters in her flippers. Another diver gives her a hand.
Sorry.
Daniel hops in, flippers first, and Susan follows. She bobs to the surface and they float beside the boat. It's 9:45 a.m. The man who lost his mask slumps onto the bench, running his hand through his hair.
You ready?
Yep.
Plugging their snorkels, they disappear beneath the water, bubbles rising in their wake. The other divers jump from the stern, splashing into the water. They sink beneath the surface into the clear blue water, the bottom of the boat a silhouette against the bright daylight above. The divers' bodies float beneath the surface, suspended in the water. Bubbles from the regulators in their mouths rise to the surface. Susan and Daniel swim above a seaweed patch to a sandy area. Other divers explore around them. Susan gracefully swims through the water, her flippered feet kicking behind her and her arms relaxed alongside her. A depth meter hangs from her belt. A dark-haired female diver taps her diving partner's arm, and the two of them rise to the surface beside the boat.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I can't equalize my ears. Okay, are you going to abort the dive or trying again to equalize?
I don't think I can go down.
All right, do me a favor. Inflate your BC, put the regulator in your mouth, and swim back towards the platform.
Okay.
The woman steps onto the ladder.
Up, stand up, stretch your knees up.
Linda pulls her up waist level with the boat, where she squats down and undoes the woman's vest and gear. Noting their return, Junior goes to the prow and retrieves his clipboard. He jots something down and replaces the clipboard. Beneath the number 20, he's marked three lines.
How was it down there?
You didn't get down.
You didn't? Why not? What happened?
I couldn't get my ears taped on.
It's rough sometimes, I know. It's happened to me a couple times.
You all right?
So, you feel all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Okay. You mind if I borrow this? Okay? I'll bring it right back. Yeah. Saving time, yeah?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. God bless you. You're wonderful. I love you.
Are you going down now?
Yeah, Linda, I'm going down. Hallelujah.
Well, the only problem I have is you don't have a buddy right now.
I don't need a buddy. I'm dying all my life.
I'm pushing you due from our boat, sir.
Your boat? Give me a break. Find a buddy for me. Someone down there coming back up. Can you dive with me? Huh?
If I don't find a buddy, I can't let you go, sir.
Hello, high water. I'm diving, Linda. Find someone.
Can you dive for me?
Help me.
Diving.
Come on, dive. Yeah, what's your name? I'll go.
You go over there?
Can you go? Brian.
All right, thanks.
Brian?
Oh,
yeah, sir. I'll go. Find yourself a cigar, buddy. Slap this puppy on.
He struggles into his diving gear.
What's that?
Yeah, sir, your regulator.
This
one.
Yeah, one of those.
Wearing the woman's mask, the man who forgot his jumps in. The woman's partner follows him.
Thank you. There's a place in heaven for you. I love you. Thank you.
They put their regulators in their mouths and disappear beneath the surface. The woman's partner holds his hand out of the water like a shark's fin before being completely submerged. Near the ocean floor, Daniel does a somersault, bubbles surrounding him. Susan swims up to him and grabs his diving vest, pulling him close to her. She waves as Daniel takes her picture with a boxy yellow underwater camera. Daniel runs his hand along the fins of a hammerhead shark swimming along the ocean floor. A speckled fish emerges from the rocky bottom. Susan mimes an eel's wavy movement with her arm as a banana eel swims beneath them. Daniel peers into its black, gaping mouth as it snaps its jaws, its yellow cartoon-like cheeks sinking into its head. He pets its wavy fin that runs the length of its body. A barracuda snaps its jaws, its long, silvery body moving gracefully through the water. Susan and Daniel hover close to one, observing the prehistoric-looking creature. Surfaces near the buoy as the other divers pop up. Linda drags a diver's gear and tank on board as they climb in.
That was quick, man.
The two divers high-five one another on the surface. Another diver climbs aboard the boat. Junior stands at the prow with his clipboard, marking each diver with a line on the page as they board. The boat starts to fill up as divers board and take off their flippers. A barracuda swims along the pebbly ocean floor. Daniel, a camera attached to his wrist, points something out to Susan, who hovers alongside him. The man who forgot his mask climbs aboard.
Yeah, I'm good. You good?
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. You're an angel. I needed that.
Junior makes a mark.
All right, so right. Fantastic.
You see that shark down there?
Yeah.
Linda helps him get his gear off as his partner climbs aboard. Junior adds a marker, having now counted the two divers twice. The man without the mask removes his wetsuit as two more divers board. Junior continues the tally. Divers struggle out of their damp wetsuits in the boat. Beneath the surface, Daniel and Susan serenely glide along the ocean's floor, kicking their flippered feet. Diving vests in a pile. Junior points and counts the now shirtless divers.
Everybody enjoyed that dive?
Yeah.
Good.
The girl who didn't dive smiles and nods at her partner who did. On his clipboard beneath the number 20, Junior has drawn 20 markings. He scratches out the number 20 and puts it down.
Okay, we got everybody.
Daniel and Susan swim in the deep blue depths, bubbles rising from their regulators. Above them, the rope from the buoy splashes the water as the fluorescent pink ball is dragged on board. The ladders are lifted into the boat. Beneath the boat's barnacled bottom, a propeller begins to spin as the engine springs to life. It propels the yacht forward through the water, a wake kicking out behind it. Its passengers chat and eat snacks cheerfully. Two divers sit on the roof looking out to sea. Davis chats with the guy who forgot his mask. Two ropes hang empty next to the row of tanks attached to the side of the yacht. Beneath the water, Daniel and Susan mime and point to one another. They hold their hands up and look around. The sun shines through bright cumulus clouds in a blue sky. It's 10:25 a.m. They surface, and Susan removes her mask and pushes back her hair. She looks around as Daniel takes out his regulator.
Daniel, where's the boat?
That's a good question. I guess it's one of those.
He points.
You've got to be kidding me.
It better be one of those.
Well, which one do you think?
I don't know.
They wave their arms in the air at one of the boats in the distance.
Did you get us lost?
No.
So we're in the right spot?
Yes. I'm 90% sure.
90%? Why only 90%?
Because the boat's not here. There's a coral head exactly 42 feet below us. I marked it on the way down.
Holding his mask against his face, Daniel peers down into the water.
Yeah, I can still see the stalks.
The stalks?
Yeah. There's a three-prong, like, fork thing right below us.
You're unbelievable. You can find some obscure little coral formation in the middle of the ocean, but you get lost going to my mother's.
I need an incentive.
You love my mother.
They wave their arms.
They obviously cannot see us.
I think it's time to swim?
Swim where?
Susan glances around.
I don't know. I think that one's the closest.
Honey, it's a bad idea.
Why?
Because we're not sure if that's our boat. And if it's not our boat, then that means we could be swimming farther from our boat. And besides, you know how far away that is?
It's really far.
It's further than that. And if it's not our boat, they could pull away at any time. And then our fucking boat, wherever the hell it is, will have a hell of a time trying to find us.
They bob up and down in the calm, expansive, deep blue ocean. Daniel raises his arm as Susan looks around at the seemingly endless body of water. Susan waves her arms in the air. Then she puts on her mask.
You going somewhere?
Just my face.
She puts on her snorkel and peers into the water, placing one hand on Daniel's shoulder. Daniel looks at the boat that's now a speck in the distance. He looks up, and shielding his eyes from the sun with his hand, he sees a small float plane pass overhead. It continues its trajectory across the blue sky. Susan lifts her head out of the water.
I hate to tell you this, but
I didn't see anything that looked like any kind of coral formation. Could you just show me? I'd just feel better.
Sure.
Daniel rinses out his mask and puts it on. He and Susan put their faces into the water. Daniel spins in a circle, searching the ocean floor. Susan lifts her head out of the water and removes her mask.
See, I didn't see anything.
Shit.
What?
You don't see it because it's not there.
So does that
mean... Just since we surfaced, we're drifting.
Well, shit! Well, what does that mean? Should we swim? God damn it, we've wasted all this time.
Honey, I hate to tell you this, but swim or not, we're going where this current decides.
Susan looks into the distance.
Are they moving?
Hey! Yes!
Oh, God. Please let this be them.
Oh, finally.
Gotta be, right?
Yes.
They're coming right this way.
Yep.
They wave their arms.
You realize that's the distress signal.
We're in distress.
The boat speeds towards them. A large canopied pontoon boat filled with tourists speeds across the water. Children and adults play on a white sandy beach. A girl moors her windsurfer next to a gigantic dinghy that a boy jumps off of into the water. A little girl digs in the sand. Another girl is spun by a wave. Pelicans groom themselves on the craggy rocks. The diving boat moors in the harbor.
Thank you.
Davis stands on the dock, helping passengers step off the boat. Susan and David's mesh bags containing their belongings are still on board. Out at sea, Daniel and Susan bob, small specks in the vast body of water. Clouds gather on the horizon, turning the sky to a milky gray.
Daniel, did you just pee?
Yep.
You're so disgusting.
You said you were a little cold.
Susan hangs onto Daniel's shoulder, and leaning back, she stares up at the sky. Across the surface of the water, a dark triangular fin juts out, disappearing quickly beneath. Susan turns to Daniel.
Daniel, is that a shark?
Maybe. Or a dolphin.
If it was a dolphin, you'd be on your way over there to play with it. You obviously think it was a shark. That's all we need right now.
That's okay. You were petting a shark less than an hour ago.
Please, that was nothing but a big old catfish. It was more than 2 hours ago.
Daniel checks his watch, and they both stare into the distance.
You know, now I'm starting to really get cold.
He hugs her.
It's okay. Oh, Jesus Christ!
A shark's fin.
I thought he said he'd never come that close.
They also said the boat would be here.
Putting on their masks, they search the water beneath them. A small hammerhead shark swims along the ocean floor. Daniel removes a small hunting knife from his boot. They lift their heads out of the water and remove their masks and snorkels.
It's gone. I was probably just curious. A couple bodies floating out in the middle of nowhere. I'm sure that's not something he sees every day.
Oh, Daniel, where the hell are they?
She sees the knife.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Makes me feel better.
So what do we do if it comes back?
I don't know.
Do we splash? Do we stay still? You're the one that watched Shark Week.
First off, we should be in a cage.
No, we should be on land.
Sharks are attracted to wounded fish.
Okay.
So I guess we should just not splash around too much. Just sort of
stay still.
Try to stay still.
Oh, God. Okay. I can't stand not knowing what's under me. I'm just gonna look, okay?
Okay.
She lifts her mask over her eyes and puts the snorkel in her mouth. Daniel rinses his mask and puts it on. They both duck their faces into the water, scanning the depths below. The expanse of water shimmers and shines hypnotically as the waves calmly ripple. The grayish-green water races past, sunlight casting a silvery glow on the surface. Waves crash, creating a whitish foam. The water ripples a deep royal blue. From below the surface, the cloudy light filters through. It's 1:30 p.m.
Okay.
They bob in the water.
Katherine Hepburn and Nick Nolte and Grace Quigley. And Nick Nolte and John Malkovich in Mulholland Falls. How's that for quick?
Well, it's quick.
All right, it's your turn.
She glances around.
You know, I really just don't feel like playing.
Okay.
Susan wipes her nose.
You hungry?
Of course.
I'm starving.
Oh, shit.
What?
Daniel, something just bit me or...
What, where?
Or something. I don't know. It's right down by my ankle. Oh, God, it kills.
Daniel peers into the water.
I'll see, do you think?
Susan puts on her mask.
Did it get you?
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know, but that fucker really stung me. It hurt.
I was trying to tell you.
Let's get the hell out of here.
They swim away from their spot. Beneath them, a moon jellyfish drifts in the blue water. Its central tentacles resemble a four-petaled flower that can be seen through its transparent bell-shaped body. Several jellyfish swim by, rhythmically opening and closing their bell-like bodies, propelling them through the water. Daniel and Susan float on their backs and kick at the surface of the water.
Okay, wait.
Daniel looks over his shoulders.
I think I'm worried for a moment.
Is that far enough?
Anything? You got anything?
No.
Damn, those fuckers stung.
I know.
Where'd they get you?
On my hand and on my leg.
Through your wetsuit?
I don't know. I guess so.
God. Are you okay?
No. I'm not okay. Are you okay? I mean, how can we possibly be okay?
Come on, honey. I know. I'm sorry. This really sucks, but we're gonna get through this, okay?
Okay. I know. Oh, God, okay. Okay. I've just never heard of anything so fucked up in my entire life. I mean, who has ever heard of two people getting left in the middle of the ocean before?
I have, actually.
You have?
Yeah.
Where?
Dive magazines. It's a lot more common than you think.
Well, thanks for telling me when we got certified.
They float upright, their flippered feet gently kicking the water beneath them. Fish swim below their shapes, silhouetted beneath the sunlight that casts a bright white light that distorts as it filters through the water. Daniel points suddenly.
Over there.
Oh, my God. Oh, Daniel. Oh, God, please let this be them. Oh, God, I don't even care if it is them. Just let them see us and pick us up.
Come on.
Oh, God.
They wave their arms over their heads to the speck in the distance. Daniel waves his arms over his head, then drops them.
I don't think they can see us.
Susan keeps waving as Daniel removes his mask from around his neck. He rinses it in the water and holds it in the air, trying to reflect the muted sunlight filtering through the clouds. Susan does the same.
Wish we had more sun.
Daniel flops his mask into the water.
I can't see us.
I know.
Susan squints at the sun and keeps trying. Susan puts her hand on Daniel's shoulder, who drops his head back in frustration.
They're leaving.
Yeah.
They look in the direction of the boat as Susan pulls herself closer to Daniel, who glances down hopelessly at the water, then at her. They both glance around the horizon. Daniel puts his mask around his neck, and Susan rubs her eyes. Daniel rubs his eyes and blows bubbles in the water. They drift about a meter apart, and Susan grabs Daniel's arm.
Stay close.
She pulls him towards her, and they stare out at the vast horizon of blue ocean and white sky. Daniel looks worried.
What if they don't know we're missing?
There's no way. They took a head count on the boat. I saw it. Our stuff is on board. We have our tanks. And we know we've drifted. It may take them a while, but they will find us.
They bob up and down, their heads and shoulders above water.
I hate to tell you, but I think my driving is wearing off.
You getting nauseous?
Yeah.
Oh, Honey, I could kill those fuckers.
I know. It's just all this going up and down on the waves, I think.
You're probably getting dehydrated.
Yeah? Well, we can't drink the water, right?
No. I should have told you that before. You didn't, did you?
A little.
Oh, honey, stop. It'll give you diarrhea, it'll make you even more dehydrated.
Great. Shark Week?
Disasters at sea. History Channel.
I guess this means I'm gonna have to stop complaining about you watching so much television, huh?
Glad to know I'm gonna get something out of this.
I'm really, really not feeling well.
Oh, honey.
I think maybe if I took my weights out, then it wouldn't pull on me so much.
Just keep the belt, drop the weights.
She kicks her legs in a circular motion, remaining upright as she unhooks the black weights attached to her belt. She drops them and they hit the ocean floor. Sand drifts upwards as they land.
Let's see him try to charge us for those.
Susan smiles and Daniel glances into the water, noticing something.
Oh, hey. She put her gloves on. How are you staying?
They're there. It's actually the one thing I think the salt water is actually helping.
She puts on gloves.
This glove isn't helping them. Oh, God.
Your stomach's back?
I don't feel very good.
All right. Why don't you lay back for a little bit?
Yeah?
Yeah, just lay back.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I got you. Just relax. There you go.
Okay. Just for a few minutes.
Just relax. Close your eyes.
Daniel holds her in his arms as she lies back, her torso and head above the surface of the water. Daniel glances around.
Daniel, I have to pee.
Okay.
This will be warm for a minute.
Thanks.
Daniel lies back as she leans against him. They bob gently. Alone, Susan drifts on her own. She looks serene, her eyes closed and her arms folded across her abdomen. She floats on her back, her mask around her neck resting on her chest. It's 4:40 p.m. In the dark water just below her head, a grayish-white shark swims past. Another follows it. Suddenly, her body is knocked to one side. Disorientated, she squeezes her eyes shut and looks around, not noticing the shark swimming beneath her. She spins around, looking over her shoulders frantically. A figure in the distance.
Daniel! Daniel!
She waves her arm.
Oh,
lying on her back, she kicks the water with her flippered feet, moving in Daniel's direction. Blood from her leg turns the splashing water a pinky red. She pauses and glances over her shoulder towards Daniel, then resumes kicking on her back. Daniel, leaning back slightly in an upright position, bobs with his eyes closed. Shark's fins appear above the water's surface near to him. One passes just behind his head, and he opens his eyes.
Daniel!
Susan kicks towards him as Daniel frantically searches the horizon.
Susan! Susan!
Daniel, over here!
Susan!
She kicks laboriously towards him. He turns over onto his back and kicks his flippered feet, glancing over his shoulder as he heads towards her. She looks over her shoulder at him.
Oh, thank God!
Come in.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. I got you.
Oh, my God, what happened?
I don't know.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. You okay?
What happened? Where did you go?
I must have fallen asleep and we drifted apart.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry.
You scared the hell out of me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm just so glad you're here.
I'm
oh,
back.
My God.
It's okay.
How long are we sleeping? God, I'm so out of it.
He checks his watch.
Jesus. We've been
Stay
in the water.
Over here.
We've been in the water for 7 hours.
Oh, God, Daniel, I feel something on my leg.
What?
I don't know, it hurts.
Is your sting?
The wrong leg. Oh, my God, it really hurts. Let me just try to get it. Take a look.
I don't see anything.
I can't. Is it on the back?
All right.
I can't feel it. It hurts all over the whole thing. Just leave it alone, okay? Don't tap. I'm not touching it.
I'm not touching it.
No, something's touching it.
It's not me, honey.
Something
I'm not here. My
tapping.
Hands are here.
Something is tapping on it.
I will take a look.
Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, I feel sick.
Small fish swim around them. Daniel, wearing his mask and with the regulator in his mouth, examines Susan's left leg. He holds her shin to get a closer look. Along the length of her calf, her black skin suit has chunks ripped out of it, exposing her white bleeding flesh beneath. Daniel looks around the dark water. Nothing but blue extends beyond him into the distance. Suddenly, a white cloud appears, its white chunky composition dispersing throughout the water. Daniel surfaces.
Sorry, honey. I threw up.
That's okay. Fish gotta eat, too. Speaking of which, that thing pecking at your leg, it's just a little cleaner fish.
Well, what about my leg?
Just a little cut.
Oh, I mean, how did I get cut?
I don't know. Maybe you rubbed up against my knife while we were sleeping or something.
Oh, come on. It wasn't a shark, was it? Oh, my God.
God, no, honey.
Are you sure?
No. If it was a shark, your leg would be gone.
Great.
At most, it was a teeny little barracuda just checking to see if you tasted good.
Oh, God. Is it deep?
No, it's not deep. Let's swim out of this puke.
Okay.
Come on.
Turning over onto their backs, they kick themselves away from the white vomit chunks.
Is that far enough, I think?
Yeah. Oh, baby, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I know how much you hate to throw up. You want to rinse your mouth out a little bit?
Yeah.
Just don't swallow any, okay? Just spit it back out.
Oh, God. I can still feel that tapping.
What, the fish?
Yeah.
Try not to focus on them. Just relax.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
He hugs her and she closes her eyes.
What is it, honey? Are you okay? What is
it's a leg
honey?
Cramp. It's a leg
cramp. Can I help you? Is there anything I can do?
I got it. Ouch.
We are really falling apart, aren't we?
Shark splash.
Oh, God. Oh, honey. Oh, God. Oh.
They're gone. They're gone.
Jesus, Daniel. What kind are they?
Big ones.
No, I'm serious. Are they the bad kind?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Daniel glances across the ocean's rippling surface. Seeing nothing, he puts on his mask and descends beneath, where he comes face to face with a great white shark.
No, be still. Just splash around.
Oh my God, this can't be normal.
Honey.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't know what's worse, seeing them or not seeing them.
Seeing them.
Susan worriedly grimaces as she clings to Daniel. Water splashes up into his mouth and he spits it out. Clutching each other, they search the open water. Clouds drift in fast motion across the sky. Their ever-drifting shapes separate, revealing the blue sky above. Other clouds drift across, sunlight brightening their billowing forms as they pass. Daniel stares down at the water with a tight-lipped expression. With furrowed brow, he scans the ocean and sees a dark shark's fin stealthily appear on the water's surface in the distance. He glares at it fixedly.
Unbelievable! This is truly un-fucking-believable! And the best part is that we paid to do this. We paid to be out here. We paid those incompetent fuckers to drop us out in the middle of the fucking ocean! We wanted an ocean view! Boy, did we get it! Those fuckers.
Her face calm, Susan bobs beside him, staring into the distance.
You feel better?
I wouldn't exactly call it better.
You finished yelling?
I could be.
Well, good. You're not the only one stuck out here, you know.
What, are you mad at me?
No.
Why, because I was yelling?
No.
She shoots him a look and turns away.
Fine. You be mad. It's a great vacation, honey, isn't it?
A shark's fin surfaces in the distance. Susan stares stonily at it.
So now we've entered no talking phase, huh? Could you maybe answer one last question? Is this somehow over the hours become my fault?
She turns to him calmly.
Let's just drop it.
Of course.
Turned away from each other, they bob gently, staring out at the open water.
You believe what you want to believe. But I know for certain that we were in the right spot.
It's not just a matter of being in the right spot. It's being there on time.
We were on time. We were early. He said 10:30.
We always have to cut it so close. For God's sake, can't it kill us once to stay with the group? We always have to do everything differently than everybody else. God, we shouldn't have spent so much time with that goddamn eel.
Well, that was a nice touch. Adding we, especially since you wanted to have nothing to do with that fucking eel. Do you honestly, seriously, honey, do you honestly think that we got left behind because we were late? I'm serious. Do you have any idea how idiotic that sounds?
Oh, so now I'm an idiot? Well, we are where we are, aren't we?
Yeah, fine. Yes, because of me.
You refused to swim.
Oh, yeah.
My God, they were both all around us, and you refused. And now, look, look around us. We are stuck in the middle of the ocean with nobody.
Even if we had been swimming for the last 5 hours, we would not be any closer to a boat than we are now. The only reason we are even out here in the first place is because of your fucking job.
What?
If it were not for your job, we would not have thrown our plans out the window, rushed around to the last minute, and settled on this fucking trip. We would be at home in the middle of our hectic lives, which right now sounds like heaven to me. And in a month's time, as we planned seven months ago, we would be where we were supposed to be in the first place and paying less than we are now to be shark bait. God damn it.
I can't even believe you'd bring all that up right now. You were the one that picked the dates.
Oh, yeah, of my whopping two choices, this was the better date.
He looks away from her.
I wanted to go skiing.
Oh, God.
Oh. Sharks circle beneath them. A tanker appears in the distance. It drifts along, breaking the monotony of the endless horizon where the ocean meets the sky. The couple wave their hands above their heads. Daniel takes one of his flippers off, and he waves it in the air. They lie on their backs and begin kicking side by side towards the tanker, silhouetted against the whitish-blue sky. They check over their shoulders at it in the distance. Its smokestack billows a cloud of dark gray smoke. Giving up, they bob upright facing the tanker. Daniel and Susan bob beneath the cloud-covered sky in the vast ocean. Susan glances listlessly to her right, the water gently lapping at her lips. Next to her, Daniel's blonde beard has grown to a faint stubble. He stares at the horizon with a furrowed brow. The two bob up and down, lost in their thoughts. Susan, her wet hair slicked back, clings onto Daniel's diving vest. Daniel looks around and licks his lips. Squinting up at the sky, he sees birds wheel above them. It's 6:45 p.m. A metal buoy floats in the distance.
I can't believe how far we've drifted.
Think the current will take us over there?
Hopefully. How's your leg?
It's okay. You know, relatively, but it's okay.
All right, then. Let's go for it.
They roll onto their backs, and side by side, they slowly begin kicking their flippered feet beneath the water. Facing away from, yet moving towards, the metal buoy in the distance. They move painfully slowly as the waves bob them up and down. The couple continually glance over their shoulders at the buoy. A seagull hovers just above the water. It flies off when a shark surfaces and snaps at it. Several shark's fins emerge, then descend beneath. Beneath the water, Daniel holds his knife at the ready. Susan fixes her gaze on him as he glances over his shoulder at the buoy.
I love you.
I love you. We're gonna be fine. Other people go on vacations and spend their days just laying around, eating and drinking.
Oh, it sounds pretty great right now.
Actually, yeah, it does. We have a story we're going to be telling for the rest of our lives.
They stop kicking and Susan smiles.
Daniel.
What?
Looking down, she fiddles with her suit. She reveals wrapped sweets.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. Okay. Oh, I've got five of them. Look.
Where on earth did those come from?
Oh, you know how dry my mouth gets when I'm diving? I wanted to put them in the dive bag, but you had them, so I stuck them in here at the last minute.
Oh, I never thought anything could taste so good.
Oh. Just hold me for a second, okay? I gotta make sure we don't lose these ones.
We got you.
Okay.
That?
Yeah.
Shark circle. Daniel's body jerks suddenly.
Oh my God.
What is it? Are you alright?
A shark splashes around them. Daniel's knife drifts to the ocean floor.
Oh my God!
It splashes around in front of them. Below, its streamlined bulk swims towards them.
I don't see it.
Are you okay? Are you
I don't know.
He's pulled beneath.
Let me go look.
No,
see if I can.
No, let me go. Stay where you are.
Oh, my God, it fucking hurts.
Just breathe, okay? Stay right there. I'm going to go look.
It hurts.
Okay?
I'm going to go look.
You keep breathing. Daniel, listen to me. I'm going to go look. You breathe.
I'm breathing.
Okay, just stay where you are.
I can't see.
Holding the mask to her face, Susan descends into the red cloud of blood that has surrounded them in the water. Chunks of white flesh float around a gaping bloody wound on the back of Daniel's leg. She resurfaces.
My leg is still there, right?
Yes.
I can feel it.
Okay. All right, honey. It's not bad. It's not bad. Okay?
You gotta put something on it.
Okay, it is bleeding, so... Okay.
It's bad, isn't it?
No.
It's bad, isn't it?
It's not that bad. It's not that bad, okay? It's not that bad.
Put something on it.
All right, I'm going to tie something around it. Just keep breathing for me, okay?
I'm breathing.
All right.
God, it fucking hurts.
Tie my weight belt around it. Wait.
Ow.
She pulls her mask back on and pops her regulator into her mouth as Daniel grimaces, writhing in pain.
I can't go. Oh, my God.
Susan descends, leaving Daniel breathing heavily on the surface. In the water, murky with red blood, she wraps the gray diving belt around Daniel's leg, just above the knee. She pulls it tight and resurfaces next to a grimacing Daniel.
Oh, God! Oh, fuck! This can't be happening! How can this be happening? I think I'm bitten by a shark! We can actually be eaten alive by sharks out here!
It's okay.
Do we know anybody? We don't know anybody who's ever been bitten by a shark.
Listen, it's all right.
It's only the same three or four guys, and they're on the shark shows. They're only surfers. My God!
Hey, it's all right. It's not that bad. You're gonna be fine, okay? You're gonna have a nice scar to show your friends, and that's it. Okay? Okay, look at me. Look at me, baby. That's all right. That's all right. You're fine. It's not that bad. It just hurts right now. The salt water's gonna make it better. It's all right.
The bright globe of the sun casts an orange glow across the horizon as it begins its descent towards the edge of the ocean. The ocean dazzles with an orangey light as the sky turns red. The waters ripple rhythmically, a dark orangey red. A dark figure walks past logs burning in a campfire. Palm fronds are silhouetted against the full moon hanging low in a dark, cloudy sky. A lizard opens its eye. People loiter in a crowded outdoor bar. A woman drinks from a coconut. A man pours martinis from a silver martini shaker, and a woman carries them into the crowd. People raise their arms and dance to the music. A blonde woman raises her arms and, bending forward, wiggles her chest. A group of people holding hands in a circle step in together, raising their arms in the air. Moonlight reflects off of the ocean. Another white flash of lightning illuminates Susan and Daniel clinging to each other in the darkness. Blackness.
It's okay.
I'm fine.
Oh, baby. It's okay. Oh, God, please.
The kingdom comes. I will be done.
You're okay. It's okay. Just hold on. Just breathe. It's okay. It's okay that it hurts. It's okay that it hurts. It's okay.
Oh God, something's rubbing against my foot. Oh my God.
Come on,
It's a big one.
It's a big, I feel it.
Lightning illuminates a shark beneath.
Oh Jesus! Oh God! Oh,
shit! Behind you.
I love you. Stay where you are. It's gonna be okay. You hold on, Daniel. You don't leave me out here by myself. You promise me. You hold on.
Lightning illuminates a shark drift past Daniel's leg.
Ow, my leg!
Daniel!
Blackness. The darkness clears as the soft morning sunlight casts a pinky glow across the clouds and the ocean. A wall of water splashes down into an empty pool from an overhang. On the deck, doves peck at leaves. One grayish dove with black wingtips sits on a planter, its head darting about. The diving boat is moored in the harbor. Buoys attached to ropes, wetsuits, and flippers litter the deck. Davis bounds on board and retrieves one of the tanks from a bench. Beneath the bench, Susan and Daniel's mesh bags sit untouched. Davis hauls them out from beneath the bench and examines them. He unzips a side pocket, and searching its contents, he pulls out two diving certificates. Flipping them over, he examines the smiling photos and life stats of Susan Watkins and Daniel Kintner. He glances up and has a flashback of the couple sitting happily on the boat. Susan playfully rests her head on Daniel's shoulder. Coming back to reality, he examines their photos again and, carrying their gear, sprints off the boat.
Hello? Hello? It's the manager, hello?
The manager, wearing a green polo shirt and sporting a goatee, lets himself into their hotel room, where their suitcases sit closed and their bed is neatly made. In the open water, Susan looks pale and haggard, with dark circles under her eyes. She clings onto Daniel's unconscious body as he floats on his back. She leans her head against his, staring into the distance. They bob up and down in the waves, water gently lapping at their bodies. She blinks heavily, then glances at Daniel. Her eyes slowly close. It's 8:55 a.m. Spin rapidly. The chopper flies through the cloudy blue sky. The float plane takes off from the ocean as five white yachts head out to sea. The chopper's pilot, wearing a headset and chip sunglasses, scans the water below. The couple bob gently in the water. Susan, her face contorting with grief, gently caresses Daniel's face with her gloved hand. She kisses him tenderly on the cheek and gently caresses his chin. She clenches her eyelids shut and her brow furrows as she weeps. Water splashes in her face as they drift in the ocean. Daniel floats on his back as Susan removes his diving gear, releasing it into the ocean. She then releases him, and he slowly drifts away from her. She watches him go, his gear bobbing gently beside her. She turns away. His body slowly drifts away from her, becoming a black bump in the distance. The ocean extends beneath the helicopter, the pilot searching its vast blue expanse. On the water's surface, the rescue yachts appear as black dots in the distance. They race across the water, spewing water in their wake. An anchored boat rolls gracefully on the water. A uniformed man on board speaks into a CB radio. The helicopter tears across the sky. Susan bobs alone in the water. Daniel's black, wet-suited chest pokes out of the water in the distance. A shark's fin moves gracefully towards her along the surface. She turns and sees Daniel's corpse be pulled beneath the surface. She turns away as it bobs down and up below the surface several times before disappearing beneath. Susan stares vacantly into the distance, Daniel's gear floating next to her. She spits out water as it gently laps her mouth. She drifts further away from Daniel's gear. She eyes the surface of the water and peers briefly beneath, seeing several sharks swimming. She eyes the surface warily as numerous sharks' fins appear above the water, splashing around. They cluster near her in a feeding frenzy, just below the surface. A shark jumps out of the water, its jaws snapping. She looks frightened as a large whitish-gray mass passes beneath her. She scans the water, her face tanned and freckled. Numerous sharks swim just below the surface, suddenly splashing about with each other directly in front of her. She turns away from them. Several sharks circle her. The waves bob up and down in her line of vision as she scans the water warily. She looks over at the numerous sharks swimming around one another just beneath the surface. She kicks at the water with her flippered feet. Sharks swim under her and all around her. She eyes them warily as they splash along the surface of the water. Water laps gently against her mouth. She sets her scuba gear adrift and removes her mask. She disappears beneath the surface of the water, her equipment floating gently on top. Her scuba gear drifts away. The ocean rolls gently beneath the cloudy sky. As the credits appear, a shark is unloaded from a fishing boat. Its stomach is sliced open, and Daniel's yellow underwater camera is pulled from it. ITFC Audio Description by Sarah Mennell.